Hey listeners, Chloe here. If you need to stay as up to date with the latest developments and innovations in the luxury industry as I do, you need to dive into Vogue Business. It's your ticket to a global perspective on fashion and beauty, delivering exclusive insights that will give you the edge in this competitive, dynamic industry. Just visit VogueBusiness.com today and use the code RUN20 at checkout to join the Vogue Business community. That's VogueBusiness.com, promo code RUN20. Don't miss out. This is The Run-Through. I'm Chloe Mao.
And I'm Cho Minardi. And the Oscars were last night. I can't believe you guys are all in the studio so bright and early.
Oh my God. Thank God. It's the culmination of a marathon of award season. It's right here, this moment.
And I'm so excited to hear about how it all went because from my social media, it looks like it was pretty major.
It was a big night. And we are here joined by our Vogue colleagues this morning, Taylor Antrim, deputy editor, and Christian Allaire, senior fashion and style writer.
Hi, guys.
Most importantly, Christian is the almighty creator of the best dress list. So that's something we will discuss in great detail. But yeah, Choma, I want to hear, because I hope that you were asleep for most of it. What did you wake up and see and think when you saw outfits this morning and recaps?
I mean, first of all, I was trying to figure out if that was Slash in the...
It was indeed.
That was your first of all?
That's great, though. We should really start with Slash. Come on, guys.
I love Slash. I mean, like, Slash and I are hair
that,
twins.
That performance was the, like, peak Oscars.
The Ryan Gosling...
Tell us about
Ken
it.
Performance. Well, I don't know. I mean, I would say last night was great. It was pretty brisk, I would say, as a production.
You were a little salty at the beginning. You didn't think it was going to be brisk.
I was so annoyed by the five actors introducing five actors because I was under the misapprehension that they were going to do that for all of the awards. So, like, five cinematographers invited, introducing five cinematographers. Can you imagine? But joke was on me. Everyone loved that. I still thought it was a little inside the actor's studio self-congratulatory. But anyway, no, it was like brisk and a little dull. And then Ryan Gosling comes along and blew the roof off the place. Everyone went nuts for it.
Choma, did you see that performance yet?
I've seen snippets, and it looked so great.
It was so fab. It was a reference to, like, all old school sort of 50s, Busby Berkeley, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. I mean, it was great camp, classic Hollywood choreography.
You could tell everyone in the room was just loving it, too. Or at least all the A-lists on the first row.
Emma Stone made a very funny joke when she won her award. And she was like, my dress broke. It was during I'm Just Ken.
I did hear about that world wardrobe malfunction.
But what did you think of the fashion? What stood out to you, Choma?
Oh, I mean, I loved... I remember being at the Loewe show thinking, which dress is Greta going to wear? Greta Lee. I love that dress. I mean, there were a lot of classic black and white dresses, and that's not usually my zone. I prefer something with a bit more color, you know, in the vein of what Lupita wore, which I think was beautiful. This pale blue. Pale blue is just her color. Like, it just looks so good on her. And that sparkling column with the feathers that Armani Privé, I thought, looked stunning. But no, I thought some of the classic black and white dresses, the polka dots, that the Dior that Jennifer Lawrence wore was so beautiful. And it was old Hollywood, but with kind of a little bit of an undone vibe. I think the glam was really special with it because she wore her hair down and it wasn't this kind of crazy polished updo, which sometimes I think a lot of stars go with. I thought Billie Eilish looked adorable with her little Chanel handbag and very kind of preppy and cute and chic in a way that you don't usually see her. And very coiffed, which I kind of liked too. She's such a beautiful girl and she looked great and still her with the white socks and is very, very cute.
Oh, those Mary Janes are going to sell out.
Oh, the Mary Janes are so going to sell out.
I'm happy not to hear that song performed again, though, I have to say. I think fourth time's the charm for me in the worst season. Love Billie Eilish, though. Love her.
But we've seen all that hourglass come back. I thought Harry Mulligan looked amazing in the Balenciaga.
I love that.
Another black and white dress. And then Margot Robbie, who's like, I loved our colleague Hannah Jackson's headline about Barbie going to a funeral, because
it was very Barbie funeral.
It was very Barbie funeral, but it was kind of great. I love that again, that hourglass silhouette and the Versace had a lot of impact. And I'm not usually a black dress girl, but it did look kind of stunning. And then I thought Charlize Theron in something a little more fluid and less structured.
She looked really good. Mm. She was on Christian's Best Dressed.
Yeah, she looked stunning in the Dior. I really loved what she was wearing. What were your favorites?
Well, surprising no one in this room, I'm a huge Lily Gladstone fan, so I was very excited to see what she was going to wear. But I really loved her look. I mean, Gucci collaborated with an indigenous artist called Joe Big Mountain, and he sort of applied his quill work onto the back of her cape gown. And I've never seen a collab like this on this scale where mm-hmm. a huge fashion brand has sort of passed the mic to like a smaller indigenous artist. And I thought it was really sort of indicative of how she's been approaching red carpet style, is she's always trying to spotlight people within her own community. So I felt it was a really beautiful moment of the night.
It did. And I really give credit for that to Lily. Like, she made it clear from the beginning of award season that this was a priority for her, and the houses really stood up for that. Mm. But I don't think they necessarily would have if she hadn't really dug her heels in on that.
And I love that she chose, I mean, Joe Big Mountain's like the master of quill work. Like, in the indigenous community, he is the top. So I think it was cool to sort of bring basically the couture of the indigenous world to the Oscars, because he is the best of the best. So I thought that was really nice.
And I loved the chasing horse look.
Christian and I get sort of E.E. Cummings-esque emails from Anna throughout the night of like, so-and-so, so-and-so. And the first one of the night was Quanah.
It was, yes.
She loved her, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, she was wearing Red Berry Woman. It's an indigenous brand. They're known a lot for their vibrant prints. And so I thought it was very beautiful that Quanah sort of embraced that and brought color to the carpet, because there wasn't red, black, and white. It was sort of geometric, and there was a feathered shoulder detail too.
My favorite, I have to say, I think, was Carey Mulligan. Mm-hmm. I know it might seem a little boring, but it really wasn't. Like, there's a difference between... I feel like sometimes people are too tasteful on the red carpet. Everything's too perfectly nailed. It's a little too elevated. Mm. And this, I feel like some people could have said it went that way, but it was so perfectly executed. Mm. And it really had a point of view. It was this recreation of a 1951 Cristobal Balenciaga mermaid dress that Balenciaga remade for Carrie. And she looked happy in it. She looked comfortable. She said it was her favorite dress ever. She had the opera gloves that were exactly at the right length of the bustier. Like, it couldn't have been more beautifully done. Mm.
Lots of opera gloves on the carpet
big,
last night.
Big
Michelle
opera
Yeoh
glove moment.
Was wearing them. It's like you said, Shoma, like there was a lot of sort of throwback old Hollywood silhouettes, but they didn't feel like dated, I felt, or retro. Like, they felt very of the moment, which was, I think, interesting.
Margot in her sort of glam goth Versace straight from the runway, I thought was a nice... I was happy to have a break from Barbie, and I feel like she knew that. She and Andrew McCamell, they just came out with their book on the Barbie press tour, which we covered last week. And so I feel like they were like, okay, we're done with this chapter. Let's literally close the book.
Well, you know what
Let's
I found...
Let's have a funeral for Barbie.
Yeah.
Well, what I found interesting was America Ferrera actually wore pink, like, throughout the whole Barbie press
it's
tour.
It's true. She was a pink Versace.
Yeah, she has been avoiding pink like the plague, but now at the Oscars she wore this very form-fitting Versace sort of chainmail gown, and I thought it was nice to at least do pink once. Like, you might as well do it at the Oscars, you know?
Yeah.
I thought she looked fab too. Mm-hmm.
There were great brooches. It was a big brooch moment, not just for men. Michelle Yeoh at the Vanity Fair Oscar party wore an amazing... She has incredible jewelry that is all sort of her personal collection.
I noticed she wore a watch over her
opera gloves.
Yeah, which I thought was, wow, that's a flex.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a sponsorship flex.
But what about the men? What men looked good? And is the like open collar black tie tux thing just like, a de rigueur now? It feels like no
asking
one
asking for a friend.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, Bradley open collar, Robert Downey Jr. open collar, everyone.
I loved Coleman Domingo.
Coleman for president.
Literally. He wore Louis Vuitton, right?
But, like, they were bejeweled buttons. Like, there's always just every detail. And the boots had something going on.
Mm-hmm. And I also loved Cillian Murphy in his Versace moment. But I think it's, like you said, Taylor, you notice, like, a lot of them are sort of approaching black tie or even white tie in, like, a less stuffy way. Like, yeah, they're forgoing the tie, or the lapels are a little skinnier, wider. Like, there's subtle updates on menswear that I think it felt fresh. Like, it didn't feel dated or boring. You know what I mean?
And then Sam Sussman, who is our intrepid social media guru slash correspondent, was on the Oscars red carpet, and her Slack wasn't working because the service is really bad. So she was texting me, Florence, who was producing the gallery, Laya, who was doing the live blog, hilarious snippets like, Emily Blunt just came in with her parents. John Krasinski got out of the family photo. Emma Stone with her husband. People are saying, who's that guy? it was very funny.
I mean, speaking of Emma Stone, I loved her after party look more than her.
Her after party look was great.
What was it?
It was also Vuitton. It was a sort of asymmetrical hem. Sort of one half of the hem was short. Sheer, but not overtly sheer.
Mm-hmm. Paillettes everywhere.
Loose, looked comfortable. Mm-hmm. I do like when people seem like they sort of find themselves more at the after party.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she had reason to celebrate too. For a night that was kind of devoid of surprises, the Emma Stone moment was genuinely shocking to me. I think I was on this podcast after the Golden Globes saying that Lily Gladstone was a lock, quote unquote, for the Oscars. So. Shows what I know. But that was a nice moment. She seemed to get up on stage and seemed genuinely shocked by winning the Oscar last night.
I think a lot of us were.
I literally cried myself to sleep, but that's another story.
Christian, I have a theory about the Lily Gladstone. I wonder if she fell victim to the Oscars wanting to go, like, wall-to-wall theatrical. Because if you look at the winners last night, you know, Netflix and Apple really had kind of shutouts. It was a true celebration of going to movie theaters. Mm-hmm. And Poor Things was one of these movies, art house movies, that did pretty well last night. Zone of Interest is another one that did surprisingly well, theatrical. Mm-hmm. We all know about Oppenheimer playing in movie theaters. I mean, Apple having Killers of the Flower Moon, which got zero Oscars.
Zero.
And Netflix having Maestro, personal favorite of mine, controversial here, but
we know.
Team Bradley.
Taylor, anyway, hard Team Bradley.
Hard Team Bradley. My heart breaks for award season Bradley. no Oscars for Maestro, which I mean, truly, you could have knocked me over after I saw that movie to tell me that. But I think Netflix and Apple are on the outs with Academy voters, and theatrical is on the ins. What do you think, Chloe?
Sure. I mean, that seems quite calculated. You really think Academy voters? I mean,
I do. I think these streaming services are a real risk to the industry, and I think they recognize that. And what were the strikes about? I mean, the strikes were about all the changes wrought by the industry, by these tech companies and streaming services.
I think there's probably some truth to that. I just think you're overestimating maybe some of the thought process behind some Academy voters. Let's just take an unknown example. Let's call her Candace. She's 77 years old. She's not like thinking about how streaming is affecting the industry.
Did she get through Killers of the Flower Moon?
Definitely not.
I mean, Poor Things, not a short movie. Not a lot of short movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, she also didn't get through Poor Things, but to be discussed later. I think that's fair. I just be a little over-intellectualizing the Academy voting process.
That's my brand, Chloe.
More on the Oscars coming your way right after this break.
We've all been there before. You're planning a dinner party or having family over or even just cooking for yourself when all of a sudden it starts to feel overwhelming.
I live in a very small one-bedroom apartment with a very small kitchen.
I can't figure out what to serve besides water soup at this point.
I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious, and this is Dinner SOS, a new podcast from Bon Appetit. Maybe it's a last-minute party with no menu inspiration, a kitchen with no space, a toddler who will only eat buttered pasta. Name your dinner emergency. We're here to help. Here's how the show works. On each episode, we'll take a call from a home cook facing a real dinner emergency. Then, I'll work with one of our editors or someone from our amazing test kitchen to try and solve it. Because cooking for the people you love should inspire joy without a side of stress. Make sure you're following Dinner SOS wherever you're listening now.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? Maybe a chef-grade range made you want to hone your cooking skills, or a high-tech tennis racket made you want to work on your backhand. I recently bought a new pair of running shoes, and that made me love hitting the pavement again. Well, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. And we're back. It's 7 a.m. in the podcast studios, and I am still catching up on the after party looks because I went to bed. And I will say that as we were discussing the Vanity Fair party and other after parties, people really sort of, they're feeling themselves more, and I really appreciate that. Like, Pamela Anderson looked fabulous in this sort of Oscar de la Renta sequined schmata, kind of like glamorous Sue Mangers. Who else I love? Chloe Sevigny and like straight from the runway, Simone Rocha, the enormous, the biggest bow. She like dropped the bow trend on
that straight from the runway. I don't think there were any. I think that might be custom.
It says SS Spring 24 ready to wear. So it's straight from the spring runway.
Last year.
Yeah. Oh, so good though.
Straight off the shop floor.
Oh, yeah. There you go. We love that.
Anya Taylor-Joy wore a bejeweled swim cap. It was Miss Sohi. Custom, but
oh my God.
Very interesting headwear piece for her.
Yeah.
I love the custom Loewe that Greta Lee wore. It looks so it's tiny buttons embroidered on the body, the kind of bias cut dress. It's beautiful.
And then for the red carpet, again, what did you guys think about the Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo's Wicked cosplay method dressing?
I'm getting a little fatigued of the method dressing thing. Like, I think it's fun for, you know, once in a while.
It was good at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, the movie's not out for, like, another few months. It's
a little early.
People wouldn't even know what they were doing talking about Wicked up there. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little early, I feel.
It's a bit early. I do feel like, as we've discussed, there was a lot of, like, vintage 50s looking back moments. There was Carey Mulligan in the 50s Balenciaga. Sandra Hüller was recreating a Millicent Rogers look, almost that was by Schiaparelli. Her look, the Millicent Rogers, I don't believe was. I felt like Jennifer Lawrence's polka dot Dior was very old school Dior. Same with Anya Taylor-Joy, obviously, they recreated, again, the Junon dress from Dior. So there was real, very specific and not abstract reference to old Hollywood and old fashion. I mean, it was a real sort of referential, both, I guess, old Hollywood, old fashion moment. Do we think that, like, any of these TV shows about the designer biopics has to do with that? Balenciaga, the new look? Or no, I'm over-intellectualizing it like Taylor Andrew.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's been something that's been percolating since the beginning of the year. I don't think it has much to do with those movies. I do think that we've just seen, perhaps because we were so lacking in red carpet moments, that we just went to something that was very glam, very straightforward. Because there were all those award shows canceled last year, that there's a real return to that might have something to do with it.
I also found it interesting that in past award seasons, like, we've seen stars plucked vintage, like actual vintage, but this season it was all about recreating vintage.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is that just
some of those dresses are probably really fragile to wear, as we know.
Is that like a pushback to Kim Kardashian's Marilyn?
It could be. There was a lot of vintage at the after party, which was interesting.
Real vintage.
Real vintage. Like,
who was wearing real vintage?
Jennifer Lawrence wore this, like, Givenchy, like, white lace gown.
That Kate Moss wore on the runway in the 90s.
In the 90s. And I really loved that. And Margot Robbie wore Mugler, vintage Mugler.
Oh, my God.
Mugler.
Yeah, that was, like, the
the golden sort of mini dress, very corseted, fringed hemline.
I mean, really, it was, like, sexy Oscar.
I actually wore it to the Oscars.
It was great.
Yeah.
And then Sydney Sweeney wore Angelina Jolie's Mark Bauer dress. That was the famous Oscar dress, the white satin V-neck. A lot of bobs on the red carpet last night. Speaking of Sydney Sweeney, Margot and Booba will tell you that.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Emma Shigormley.
We are two best friends with one common obsession.
Beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful. We tried it all and we've got your back. We'll be calling on all our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions. Consider us your beauty 411 and sometimes your 911.
From how to fix brassy hair
to the pros and cons of laser facials,
and always with a cocktail in hand.
Always. So be prepared to be obsessed. Check out Lipstick on the Rim wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Messi make the after party, or was it?
Oh, Messi, highlight of the Oscars.
Do you know what we're talking about, Choma? The dog from
Anatomy. Yeah, the dog.
The dog. He was there. They had like a meme moment where he was like clapping with his little paws. People went nuts. It was great.
I love that movie so much.
I do too. Another.
Oh,
another.
Justine Triet was another best dress for me in her like weird rhinestone pinstripe Louis Vuitton. I mean, someone on Twitter did say, did Justine Triet show up to do magic?
But I loved it too.
No, but I thought it was really good
too. I thought she's done a really good job of dressing as a director on the red carpet. She's
her and Celine Song, who looked so good in Louis Vuitton. Also with a brooch.
So
more
good
brooch moments.
Pour one out for
Celine
Past
Song
Lives.
Knows how
so
to do
sad
it.
That Past Lives didn't win a thing.
I know. We love Past Lives.
It was probably wishful thinking to think it was going to get anything. But
I don't know. Well, what about your theatrical theory?
That one is the exception that proves the rule, I probably say.
Liam Hess wrote a fantastic article about sort of the conundrum of dressing as a female director and how you have to dress for the red carpet, but also dress to be taken seriously, and sort of examined how some of these women this season really nailed that, like Justine and Celine. So I recommend everyone look that up. What did we think about Zendaya's Armani moment, Christian?
I loved it. I think it was a perfect mix of like a very retro silhouette, but sort of the clashing of like the sequins and the sort of palm print. I think it felt really fun and really youthful. So I kind of loved the end result.
I have to say, I had a bedtime nightmare because of daylight savings time. It really screwed me. So
I think that was Sunday morning.
No, but it meant they didn't go to bed.
I get it.
And so I missed like the first 45 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it started early. Started at 7.
Yeah.
I was so
Alice
thrilled.
Albert did not appreciate that.
Yeah, it interrupted dinner. But I'm all for it. And it ended at like, you know,
10:20.
10:20. Yeah. I was like, this is great.
Well, the beginning was delayed because there were protests outside. Pro-Palestine ceasefire protests. A lot of artists were wearing Artists for Ceasefire pins, which was powerful. There were some... Who was the speech that was very well-handled?
There were two political moments from the podium that I think are worth mentioning. The first was Jonathan Glazer, who is the director of The Zone of Interest, which took home the International Feature Film Oscar, as expected. It's a Holocaust drama based on the Martin Amis novel. Also stars Sandra Hüller. I thought he did a really artful job mentioning both the October 7th attacks and the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Gaza, and really managed to strike a very somber and, I thought, quite moving note from the podium. The other was the director of 20 Days at Mariupol, which is a documentary that not a lot of people have seen, but I hope last night will shine a light on it. It's really good. It's a very gripping sort of verite account of the early days of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And the director, whose name I'm not even going to try because I don't speak Ukrainian, talked about how he was the first Ukrainian director to win an Oscar. And I thought that was a very moving moment, too. So there were a couple of really good sort of real world intrudes moments on stage for the Oscars. I mean, by and large, I would say that this was, as we've been saying about the fashion, like traditional old school Hollywood doing what it does best, wrapping everything up in a kind of like patina of glamour and escapism. But those were moments that really broke through for me. I think actually it's a little weird to me. We haven't mentioned Oppenheimer once this whole time.
Oh my God, it's true.
And like Oppenheimer,
we mentioned Killian.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's freaking out about Killian's wife and their sweet moment together, and I went on a deep dive on who she is.
There were a lot of thinking the wise. Robert Downey thanked his wife from the stage. Remember that? I'm looking at Choma as if she watched it in real time. I thought Robert Downey, I mean, say what you will about that guy, he has great comic timing. I think Oppenheimer more or less sweeping the awards. There were a few upsets. I mean, the fact that Poor Things had a really good night, I thought was striking. And The Zone of Interest also stole an Academy Award from Oppenheimer in sound. But by and large, this was really like a celebration night for Oppenheimer, which was a real phenomenon last year. You know, a three-hour Christopher Nolan epic film that people just really went nuts for. I found it hard to get emotionally involved in, but that—
You loved it. No, you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. As I was saying, I found it hard to get emotionally involved in. I know you found it hard to get emotionally involved in, Chloe, because you did not make it through the third hour.
I went back.
But yeah, I mean, that movie really, really swept. And I think everyone was ready to honor Christopher Nolan as this kind of like meticulous, really sort of epically minded director who's had an incredible career and now has this like crowning moment with Oppenheimer. So no surprises there, but a movie really worthy of Oscars. And it got a whole bunch of them. And then at the end of the night, Al Pacino, speaking of Oppenheimer, Al Pacino, all 83 years of him, God bless him, gets up on stage, does not mention any of the nominees for Best Picture, and just sort of mumbles out that he's seeing Oppenheimer on the—
I know, it was so anticlimactic.
It was crazy. And so what would the Oscars be without sort of a strange, you know, anticlimactic moment at the end? So I thought that was quite fitting too. And ended things really early, so it was great.
So what was everyone's favorite moment of the night?
I was excited that Cord Jefferson won for Best Adapted Screenplay for American Fiction. I like that movie.
That movie's so good.
I'm a Cord fan, and I thought his speech was really nice. So pro-Cord, pro-American Fiction.
My favorite moment of the night actually was seeing all the members of the Osage Nation on the red carpet.
Oh my God, that image was incredible.
Like seeing them all in their traditional regalia, their traditional Osage blankets, and just the number of them. I think there was like 50 of them or something. Like, it was just really powerful to me. And I think it was really nice that Killers of the Flower Moon and Apple invited them to come and sort of have that space. So I was like emotional when I saw them.
And they performed.
That's, yes.
That's, you know, piece of music from Killers of the Flower Moon, which I really thought was amazing. I
mean, it was amazing.
Apologies to Ryan Gosling. It was Ryan Gosling was my second favorite musical performance of the night. I want to shout out the 12-year-old girl who was on stage during the documentary short Oscar. She was also wearing pale blue, which was on trend last night, as people were saying. And she looked like she was just owning her moment. It was the documentary that won was The Last Repair Shop. And anyway, the 12-year-old girl on the stage was adorable.
I loved the grannies. So Sam Sussman, who was on the red carpet, the first thing that she texted us was, "Are you guys seeing the grannies?" And we were like, "What? This is not the Grammys. This is the Oscars." And then I saw that she was talking about the two grandmothers who are in custom rodarte in wheelchairs coming through. Yayan Fue and Chang Li Hua, the stars of the documentary short Nai Nai and Wai Po, they came with their grandson who made the film, and they got the crowd going nuts. Apparently, the entire red carpet was about these women, and Sam said people kept, like, talking into their headpieces, being like, "Grandmothers are coming through. Everyone move for the grandmothers." And Hannah did a very funny breakout piece on them, and they really were top for me.
They were fab.
I can't believe they were 86 and 96.
I know. They were living their best lives.
When I'm that age, I want to be still dressing like that.
Choma, when you are that age, you will be dressing like that.
So if I make it to 96.
But I thought it was a really fun show, and I'm... thought, you know, the dressing was there, and it was. I'm happy to end award season this way.
It did look kind of epic overall. I mean, not that I watched all this the whole entire ceremony, but the red carpet looked incredible. I thought it was like it felt like the Oscars.
All right, there's your closer. It felt like the Oscars.
It felt like the Oscars.
That's it for the show. We'll be back on Thursday with an exciting episode.
Bye.
Bye.
The Run Through with Vogue is a production of Condé Nast. The show is produced by Susie Lechtenberg, Chelsea Daniel, and Alex John Burns, with engineering from Jake Loomis, Gabe Quiroga, and James Yost. It is mixed by Mike Kutchman. Chris Bannon is Condé Nast's head of global audio.
Hi, Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier, and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru. And you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper. Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money. Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.